From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. I am Jed.
I'm Daniel.
And we've got a few people in here with us. We are promoting our next production, opening as of this recording in about a week and a half, on May 20th, Little Shop of Horrors, which is we're going to close out the season in a big way. And we've got some of the cast, so why don't we go around the table here, and you can tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Zach Judah, and I play Seymour Krellborn.
My name is Dylan Avant, and I am playing Audrey 2.
My name is Hannah Oakes, and I'll be playing Audrey.
My name is Jacob Medina, and I'll be playing Oren Scrivello.
Ooh, DDS.
Nice. DDS. That part is important.
He makes a big snaps in
there. Oh, yeah. He makes a big deal out of that for a few.
People who have listened to this podcast for a long time have known that I am very excited about this show.
Yes.
We started this podcast in April of 2020, right?
Yeah. First official win. Yeah, there was an episode zero that went up on like March 31st or something, okay. But April 1 was the first episode.
And one of the, first like five or six episodes was us talking about like dream roles.
Yeah.
And one of mine was being in Little Shop. And so I'm very excited.
Yeah.
So, and I was on the place election committee that helped pick it.
It helped pick this one out. So we should have mentioned we have a little mini Clue reunion here. Daniel, myself, and Dylan were all in Clue.
Yes.
So Daniel and Dylan got to open and close this season.
Yeah.
Oh, our first season in the new space.
Yes.
That's true. Pretty rad.
It was way cool.
Yes.
You've never done a musical.
I have not. I am terrified.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I don't sing well in the shower.
I think that he is probably a better singer than he thinks he is. Actually, I have heard him rap.
Which is a different thing entirely.
But you were really good. Like, it was surprising.
I've got rhythm. I don't have tone.
But anyway,
so you're going to be in Hamilton, I guess. that's what I'm understanding.
Yeah. I mean, I could be King George, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, is the one part that, like, actually
sings.
That's true. So to answer your question, no.
I'll pay you to see it, I promise.
All right, so I know something about you. You used the dentist song as a audition song for other shows.
Yes.
And so is it kind of fun to, like, be like, yeah, I finally get to really do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when I first walked in to do my audition, I had to make sure that dentist was not in the folder. I didn't want anyone thinking that I was assuming anything, you know? But then as we started getting more into the show and our characterization of Oren, I found a lot that there were some things that I had prepared for the song when it was just an audition piece that just didn't work quite as well as the full performance with the full context and everything. A big thing is I've kind of, in my audition piece, I've clipped like two of the lines together. And so whenever the urchins are going on and we get to that point, there's still like a bass part of my brain that wants to sing it that old way, and every time I've gotta grip myself and be like, no.
Is it that extra dentist?
Yes, it's the extra dentist. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
So, oh, yeah.
Is this a show that you have been wanted to do before?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Actually, I went to a workshop in New York the summer after my eighth grade year, and I sang Suddenly Seymour. And after that, I was just in love with Audrey and her part. And I've always loved the movie with Ellen Green. You know, she's just a super, super fun character, and I've always wanted to be Audrey, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I've told you this before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've told everybody else this. Since I was a very small child watching this movie at home, when that song comes on, I always sing her part. Like my whole life, I sing her part in falsetto. Like, that is like,
awesome.
That's just how I've always done it. And
we were driving down the road the other day doing that.
Yeah.
It was really
cool. And so, Yeah, it's really hard for me backstage. I'm not going to do it. So
that's something. That's a behind the scenes video we need for social media.
Well, like, we talked about doing that one.
Yeah,
and so we'll see. And I know you put a lot of work into. You wanted this role real bad.
Yes, I did. So funny story is that I actually, my sophomore year of high school, we did do this show, and I did audition for it. I remember specifically one of the people on the panel. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I know one of them was joke. You know, we were making jokes, cracking up, and one of them said, you know, yeah, just go ahead and read the script as if you were like a robot. I took him seriously. So I actually read for Seymour as if I were like an actual robot. Like, it was terrible. And they still cast me as an ensemble role. And then I went and actually got the lead in my one act play. And I had to turn around and tell them, hey, I got the lead in one act. Sorry. And they were like, what? Okay, cool. Yeah, sure. At the time, my girlfriend at the time had actually asked me to be like last minute crew to drop some vines on the audience during the finale.
That's fun.
It was really cool. So I got to like see the show for free. I got to see the show for free, which was really awesome. Yeah. And our assistant choir director was actually Audrey too, because we didn't have anybody else that was able to do that role. Mm-hmm. So, and when I heard that we were doing this show, I think I first heard whenever we were doing Clue, actually. Whenever I first heard that, I was like, I don't know. And I remember having a discussion with either with one of you two about it and being like, wait. I'm an adult now. I have more experience. I have more chops. I could do that. So I actually prepped months in advance singing, of course, the Plant's main song, Feed Me, over and over and over again, just in the car ride back and forth between here and Leveland for school. And I ultimately came down to a piece that I was like, if this doesn't get it, I don't know what'll do it. So, but... yeah, it worked out, and I'm really, really happy and really grateful that I get to be on stage with such amazingly talented people.
Well, when we did the callbacks, when you two read together, in my...
This is a non-visual medium, we should note that Daniel is indicating our Seymour and our Audrey too. Yes.
When y'all did that scene together, I was, as far as I was concerned, the rest of the people in the room didn't, like, I was like, well... they've cast themselves. And so I was like, I don't know what else ever, you know, anybody else here who's for those parts, you can go. And it wasn't because that room had so much talent. It was, really impressive. Like,
what was it, like 65 were called back?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Something like that. There were a lot of us.
It was insane.
But I was like... because it's not a knock to the other people, because I think there were a lot of people who did really good, but there was something about the way you two read together that was special.
And I think what was really interesting about that is, like, I have been doing musical theater for a long time, and I've gone through a lot of these auditions, and no other cold read has ever felt more natural than that. And I didn't even know Dylan's name when we went up there and did it. Dia just kind of was like, I think I want to see you two. And we just got up there and we did it, and it clicked just instantly. Like, he went along with what I was doing. He gave me so much to react to. So if anything, like, I feel like we kind of just, like, held each other's hands with this point. We were like, we're going to go forward together, man.
Well, I've been scared, right, man.
I don't know what you're doing. I'm terrified. What do you think?
No, Zach is definitely he's been an amazing Seymour. He's been an amazing, person to work with. And, we've become really, really good friends over the course of this show.
Like, I realize, I never actually mentioned what I'm doing in this show.
Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah. Because Daniel is actually in the cast.
Yeah. I'm in the ensemble, and then for one of the shows, I get to be the dentist. So, second Saturday, we're doing an understudy show, and I'll get to be the dentist, which is really... other than, like, Mushnick, the only role that I could play anymore. Because I think I've aged out of Seymour, unless you cast an age-appropriate Audrey.
If we just did...
are much too young. But
if we did Little Shop of Middle-Aged Horrors.
but when the dentist being way older than Audrey works. Because he's a freaking sleazeball, and so he would totally be dating like somebody in their early 20s.
You sound like you have thoughts on that. You're reacting to it.
I just, so with the dentist, and obviously you know, everyone kind of knows his character. He's a sadist. He enjoys abusing Audrey and abusing his patients. And so that is very far from who I am as a person.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Well, absolutely. It has been a good bit of practice to kind of dig down and find some of those meaner parts.
That scene that's in the middle of...
Is it Get It? Yeah.
That
yeah,
scene, I hate it so much. I hate it so much. Oh, man. He just is so mean. Like,
yeah, he is.
But he earns, you know...
What
that
happens
scene
to
scene is yeah, really yeah, important yes. because it...
The, yeah, no, like, it's, so. Like, you're not supposed to feel sorry for him at all.
Yeah, you should be a little bit happy about it. Yeah.
And the dentist has an extra song that is not in the movie. So his...
Oh, wow. Yeah, get ready for that.
That song...
That's a lot of fun.
Man, that song is... Is tough because the timing on it is just so
it's insane.
Weird.
God.
Yeah,
and then you it, like it's so fast.
Million words a minute.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's all that patter speak and
yeah.
Cool.
So, what is your favorite song? Is it Suddenly Seymour? Or...
I do love Suddenly Seymour, but Somewhere That's Green definitely has a special place in my heart. Just because you know, I feel like I've been doing it as an audition song actually for forever, and you know, just it's a very sweet song about this girl who dreams about a better life, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to it, especially a lot of women who happen to be in Audrey's situation, and so I think it's super cool to see that she's not totally just beaten down, you know, like she still has this dream inside of her, so I really love that song.
And you don't have to know who Donna Reed is to appreciate the song.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps.
It just helps. Yeah.
Me and Jed being the only people in this room who know who Donna Reed is. You looked into it.
It's
after
No. It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
All
right. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
That's old. It's a Wonderful Life is amazing, and it makes me sad because we had to take it out of the season. I don't know if we announced that yet. We announced that.
I mean, we may as well.
So, we had to take A Wonderful Life. The rights to it are not available.
So we're doing a different Christmas show.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's a
bummer.
Sadness.
But anyway, yes, she is great in that movie. I always think of the show, the Donna Reed show.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think of first. And so, but I forget, It's A Wonderful Life.
We've been talking about, like, just you and I just on our own time talking about, like, 1960s sitcoms a lot lately, I feel like.
And Nick at Night was different for us than it was for y'all. So,
Nick at Night, oh my god,
man, yeah. That's a throwback.
Because y'all are young enough that, like, Nick at Night, by the time y'all were watching it, was probably playing like 90s shows.
I remember,
Cosby Show, Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah,
I remember almost distinctly, like, almost exclusively George Lopez.
That was like the first like hour block.
Yeah,
George
Lopez.
And that's weird for me because those are just shows that were on.
That were on when I was a teenager. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah,
so they were airing.
Yeah. For Nick, I freaked out when Nick and I started showing shows from the 80s. When it started showing shows from the 90s, I was done.
Because when we watched it, it was like Car 54, Where Are You?
It was,
and Green Acres,
like,
and
It was sitcoms from the birth of television.
Reed.
It was, yeah.
Speaking of stuff like that, I was driving down here listening to, I think it's still 97.3, The Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
Lubbock's
throwback station.
Yeah.
And dude... Guys, they were playing Black Parade on the throwback channel.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man, I'm dead serious. Like, I was like, oh.
That's...
On the throwback channel.
I didn't feel like I was that old. But, you know, you start talking about putting My Chemical Romance on the throwback
channel. Wait till you're twice as old as you are now.
And the music that what I came
I'm
of age
twice
with
her
is,
age.
Is just 30 years old now.
19, 20?
Yeah, 19.
Yeah, so I am literally twice as old as she is, so, which hurts. It hurts a lot, so.
We did that, remember when one episode of the podcast where Lauren was like, I was born in the 2000s, and she's just like, what were the 90s like? And we're like, oh, God, it hurts so much.
You know, it doesn't have to be one of your own songs. What is your favorite song in the show?
My favorite song? Oh, man. It's one of Seymour's. Oh, why am I blanking on it right now?
I don't know that one.
It's,
which act?
It's Act One.
Grow for Me?
Yes, yes, it's Grow for Me. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember loving that song so much when I was a little kid. And we had the DVD. Do y'all remember those big old bargain bins at Walmart?
Yes.
Yeah. They were full of like the $5
DVDs.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. We had like found one of those one day and my mom pulled it out and was like, oh, cool, we're going to watch this. And I was like, all right, whatever, lame old movie. And like, nah, man. Like, as soon as the music started and like Seymour's got his little Grow for Me thing. And then the last shot in the movie is like the camera zooms in on Audrey 2. That's like just starting to
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's just like starting to
for
move
people
now.
Who don't know, the ending is not the same as the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you
how. So, yeah.
Not at all.
On that, I was looking at this the other day. So yes, the movie ends differently than the stage mm-hmm. production does. Mm-hmm. But originally, Frank Oz shot a darker ending for the film.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's actually worse than the stage show's ending. It's like, it's...
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
rough. Complete insane. Destruction.
Of everything.
The entire
it's like,
country.
It's like 10 minutes of just...
Yeah,
plants
yeah.
destroying the earth and killing
yeah,
everyone.
Like,
it's
like, we're does. Talking like Godzilla size.
Yeah.
Just running around.
It just goes
everything.
On
yeah.
and on.
It's
and
incredible.
On.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where could one find this version?
Oh, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's
probably
on
the
DVD. Yeah.
We are showing the movie. Is this going to be out before Friday? Is it going to be out on Friday?
I could put it out early. Why not? All right. So. Tonight, when this episode comes out, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, we made an executive decision.
Yeah.
On Friday, May 13th, we are playing, you can come up here and actually watch the movie on our big old
yeah,
screen that takes up
Friday
the
13th.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And if you come to the movie, you could win tickets to come see the stage show. Yeah.
And it is a sing-along. You're allowed to sing if you're in the audience.
Totally.
So.
Nice.
So.
I like that.
Yeah, there's that.
Exactly. All right, what about you? What's your favorite song? Doesn't have to be one of yours.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really enjoy Suddenly Seymour a lot. I really feel like it. Just the emotional payoff with that is really solid, with just Audrey and Seymour finally being like, you are the one for me. I think it's so beautiful. But I really, really love Somewhere That's Green.
Yeah.
Really especially weird. Whenever Hannah over here sings it, it's just like it'll almost bring tears to your
tears
eyes
inducing.
Every single time. Like
tear
it's so beautiful, it's so excellent, and it's just literally just this sweet girl singing about her dreams and like what she wants in life and all the just like what her perfect life is, and you know, and she knows that she may not ever have that, and at this point in the show, of course, she feels like she'll never have that. She feels like she's not worth it. She feels like that she. Doesn't deserve something as beautiful as that.
It's worse.
And it's really, but like, it kind of comes back to Suddenly Seymour, where it, like it's that emotional payoff again. Just like, yes, you are worth something. You are beautiful. You are sweet. You're an incredible young woman, and it's just so much fun. That said, I also love Dentist and Mushnick and Son, which is I love watching you and EB
yeah.
on stage just
yeah.
every
oh,
night
the
that
most,
cracks me
yeah.
up.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm like, yes, like get it, do it.
Yeah, but honestly, y'all brought up how I'm on a great Seymour. It's like I wouldn't be as great of a Seymour if I didn't have the cast around me that I did. Like these guys help me shine more and more every day. Like the talent that they bring to the table is unmatched. I will say that. I'll throw that out there.
No, I was listening to you guys all sing outside of my office the past couple of nights. That's been really, yeah.
yeah.
Been very
so
impressive.
Before I ask you the question, I'm going to answer it. Mine is Suddenly Seymour, easy.
Yeah.
But I can pinpoint my favorite part of Suddenly Seymour is the Suddenly Seymour. That part.
Where it splits into the two,
yeah.
they're both singing together?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it just, it's, yeah. It, like, I love that song. It's been my favorite song from that.
Yeah.
Since I probably saw it, because it came out in
86,
yeah.
So I probably saw it 88-ish, whenever it was on like HBO or something.
Oh,
cool. And so, yeah, so I've been like six.
Have you guys ever seen, I mean, well, no, they probably haven't,
mm-hmm.
because they were, none of the people in this room were conceived then, but... I'm assuming
VHS and DVDs exist.
Well, not of this. I don't
saw
think
some
there's
50
so,
cents
in like either the late '80s or the early '90s on Fox. There was a Saturday morning cartoon of Little Shop of Horrors.
No way.
Really? Yeah.
I would encourage you to go to look that up because it is a fever dream.
It is, yeah. I'm going to have to YouTube
that. Absolutely. Cool. You can find whole episodes on YouTube.
We should do a pre-show on Friday and show one of those.
Show one of those before so the movie? Cool. Absolutely. Because I bet nobody there would remember that even happened.
Oh, so,
wow. Be there at the movie viewing, guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Go. We'll show you. So.
Yeah.
All right. Wait, do you want to go? Let's save Seymour for less. What is your favorite song, Jed?
This has way less emotional payoff than everything you guys were saying, but mine is probably Skid Row.
Okay. Yeah, I like Skid Row.
Skid Row's a good one.
That gets stuck in my head like for days at a time.
And I feel like it's the most iconic song for
me. Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's
totally
easy for you to be walking away from it going, Skid Row.
Yeah.
Downtown. You're just leaving.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Which, I mean, maybe that is the... layman's answer, the cliche answer. But
I mean, the title track. Well, I was gonna say the title track, actual like Little Shop, that one is probably the most well-known song, just because there are people who've never seen it, who know that one. But anybody who's actually seen it, Skid Row is probably Seymour.
Yeah.
All right, so now,
oh boy, all the attention's on me. I kind of have a split between two. It's got to be Feed Me because of just the high intensity. It's kind of the first time that Seymour shows anything other than being anxious and scared and just shut down. You know, he starts showing some of that anger. And then Meek Shall Inherit. Yeah. It's one that's not in the movie. You know, you kind of see Seymour struggling with that whole thing of, should he sign the contracts, which means he's going to have to keep on killing people, or should he just shut the plant down now while he has the chance? And, you know, having the characters walk on and, you know, handing all these contracts and the emotional toll behind it, plus with the ending, with that big note and the big, three-part harmony right there.
Mm, it's beautiful.
Although the best part of that song is the, like, when you get all, like, soft and things. Like that part, I love that part. I'm always off in the wings doing the dance because they wouldn't let me do it. So I was like, fine, I'm gonna do it anyway.
They can't stop you. They literally can't run on stage and stop you. Yeah. So.
But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Although on closing night, when it's too late to do anything about it, you should actually like come out on this.
Please, yeah. Nice. Go for it.
Yeah. So,
I'll protect you.
Totally.
So. All right, you got anything else?
I mean, probably if I think about it, but...
Yeah, do y'all have anything y'all want to talk about? Make sure people know about the show, or...
Or experiences you want to highlight that have been fun, or...
Choreography has been fun. This show has...
The Liberty is a huge, massive talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is probably a little less intense dancing, this show, like, which I'm fine with. Like, I've been in other shows where I was like... I can't breathe. So I like that about it.
Makes it difficult as hell to catch your breath.
Right.
That's from the show.
Lyrics.
Okay. Interesting thing about this show that I don't know if people know is it was written for 8 people to do the whole show.
Yes.
So there's not an ensemble in the script. Like I think Dia, the director, has come up with a pretty, I think, a really cool way to be able to work the ensemble into additional scenes and songs that doesn't, like, take away. I think it actually adds to and makes some of those stuff really cool. That I don't want to necessarily say on here because I want y'all to just go see.
Yeah, because it's unique to this production.
Yeah.
So
Fans of this production, like, if you've gone and seen it at any other live theater, this one's not going to be anything like that. I mean, it's going to still be the same songs, you know, the same,
same
construct and storyline, but those different elements that we have thrown in, like, or the creative team has thrown in there and made calls on, has been wonderful.
Dentist is still a horrible dick.
And that, our large cast is honestly just another tool that we have as far as portraying our characters. They support us like by doing their stage business while we're doing like the main scene that people are like quote unquote supposed to be watching. They really liven up the Skid Row, the streets, and that's just kind of all ensembles everywhere, you know, like you could have really, really great leads that are fantastic to watch, But an ensemble really does just bring life to your world.
Yeah.
Inhabits it, makes it feel like these aren't just characters, these are people who are living through these events. Mm-hmm. And that there's other people also just kind of tangentially going on through their lives. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Also want to shout out David, who is doing the music direction. He's yes. like...
Fantastic.
Because yeah. I'm not a great singer, but he's been able to get me to a place that I feel... He's been able to push me in a good way to be able to do stuff. I'm still not great when we're doing the ensemble stuff. I am not good at finding my notes in a chord. Like, that's hard, and I am not great at it. And I don't know how to read music, which does not help. I should do less musicals, but he is
most of your adult theater career, with the exception of Clue has been
musical theater.
Yeah.
So, I like that.
Because even Rocky Horror was... I mean,
It seems like that's how it always is. Like, whenever a person gets into theater, they either do just musicals for, like, the longest time, or just straight plays for, like, the longest time.
Yeah, that's
right.
Where
we're until there's a switch that happens somewhere.
Yeah, Daniel had done all musicals. I've done all straight plays. And then Clue was his big switch
When high school, before y'all were born... I didn't do the musical, so the only opportunity I had my senior musical, I didn't do. So my first musical was in 2017 when I was like in my 30s. So I did Adam's Family with Heather directing. So,
okay.
And so I did that, and then did 9 to 5, Young Frankenstein. So
very cool.
Oh, sweet.
So, Clue was the only one that wasn't.
Clue was you're like my first straight play since high school.
Mm-hmm. And I got to kill somebody. So
you did? Yeah, yeah.
And that's always always a great experience when you've been off stage for a while and then you come back and you're like, oh yeah, this is why I did all those things.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have done it, but I was friends with Heather, and Heather was directing Adam's Family, and it was the combination of Heather's directing and Adam's Family, and I was like, like
them.
Like,
oh,
like,
man.
I was like,
Heather,
never done this
Heather
before.
Heather will do that, man. She'll pull you.
Oh, yeah,
you
totally.
Yeah.
She will indeed. Heather, since I was in high school. It's always been that way.
And now I'm always around. I'm on the board.
There you go.
Yeah, and now,
So, it's good time.
Sorry, since I was in high school.
Right.
I was like high school age with her kids when they were all in high school. We were all in MD together.
Okay.
Yep.
That's how I got to know.
Because when she was in high school, we were in high school.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna keep harping on it. It's a thing. So
it's like we realize it shouldn't be an issue, but I don't know.
Well,
when you get old, there's something that compels you to.
When we went to the callbacks and I looked around the room, I was like, oh my god, okay. So it's like, because I was like, there's no chance for me to be Seymour. One, because there's a whole bunch of really talented people in the room, and two, there's no Audreys that are age appropriate. Like, there was nobody in the room that was like. That I could play against, and I was like, "Well, okay, well, that's off the table." So really, it's Mushnick or the dentist, and then EB got up there, and I was like, "Okay, well, it's not Mushnick." I didn't think I was gonna be in it at all, and then she got a hold of me, and she's like, "You wanna be in the ensemble?" And I was like, "Yeah, yes, absolutely." And then apparently somebody dropped who was gonna be the Seymour understudy. And so the guy who was the dentist understudy moved up to the Seymour understudy, and I was allowed to be. And so it took a lot of work for me to be in this show, but I'll take it. I don't care.
Oh, you know, audition time stories. For this audition, actually, I was called back for Audrey 2. Actually, they weren't even going to have me read for Dentist, Dio was just kind of handing out scripts. There were like so many people. And so I just kind of popped my hand up because I've wanted to be dentist forever. Mm. And so, yeah, she just had me read, and I didn't think that anything of it. And then we got around to, like, the Audrey 2s, and then Dio was like, all right, yeah, Jake, get up here. I was like, really? Mm. Audrey 2, all right.
She did not have me read for Audrey 2s.
No.
It's fine.
I remember sitting there for Audrey 2, you know, read-throughs, and I was like, come on. come on, I want to do it. I know I can do it. Like, I was like sitting in like a little ball of energy, just like, come on, I can do it. But
I'm willing you to call on.
Yeah, I was so excited. And I was like, even if I don't get the part, I just want to say that I auditioned for it, you know?
Yeah.
And God, it just, when I, every time I think back to those callbacks, I just can't help but think, my God, every single person in that room was so good.
Yeah. It was,
serious. Like, there could have been a million different casting possibilities, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Could have happened. And I'm just, I'm very grateful this is the one that happened.
You know? Yeah, because I know a couple of the people that were there that are just, like, insane good singers.
Yeah,
absolutely. That didn't get cast. And I was like, the fact that, like, Josh, I can't think of his last name right now.
Reynolds, yeah.
Yes, Josh Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is crazy good.
That guy
just shows that, like,
wild,
there's so many different ways you could have gone with this cast, but I think that, you know, in my opinion, when I looked around the room, I had, this is who I would cast, and this is almost exactly what I had. Like, So I think she picked the best cast that was in that room. So, absolutely. Not counting the ensemble. The ensemble, I was like, no idea. Don't know how you do that. Like, good luck, Dia, because I'm not.
Speaking of callbacks, terrifying, absolutely terrifying. I was one of the youngest people in the room, and I was like, all right. Well, and I've seen, like, over half of the people who got a callback for Audrey, like, I've seen them perform, and I was like, awesome. And then we had to sing in front of every single other Audrey. And I sang last, and I was like, come on, David. Why? Why? I listened to everyone sing before I sing mine, and then my nerves were like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was fine. And then also, on top of that, like, everyone else in the room was also watching. And then I remember the last scene, well, I read one scene for Audrey in the beginning.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And then the last scene that I read as Audrey, I read with Zach.
Yep.
And we did like the super emotional scene that happens right before suddenly Seymour. And it was, I was like, yo, this kid's a good actor. The kid, right? I'm 19 and I'm like, oh, this kid.
See, yeah, that's
this
the
child,
thing.
This baby of a man.
And see, this is so. That's the funny thing is, we did do that scene, and like, she's looking at me with these puppy dog eyes, and I was like, wow, what a shame if this 16-year-old girl gets put with me.
16-year-old girl.
Because I mean, like, she looks very young, and I'm 26, so I was very scared. I was like, I'm in my mid-20s.
You can't,
I'm about to
catch
this case.
This wouldn't be legal.
Like, I'm not trying to do that. I have to make sure. So first rehearsal, I come up to this girl, I'm like, how old are you?
Oh my God. Did you really?
We need to clear this now.
Hey, I'm not trying to get canceled.
I mean,
I don't think it's an unreasonable question to ask. So.
No, I understand. It's fair.
I mean, if you have to be romantic with someone on stage, you want it to be close to you.
For sure.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of Hannah's friggin' puppy dog eyes, just any time Oren snaps at her or just says mean things to her, Hannah gives, like, just the saddest kid dog puppy look.
Man, when she gets all
and
like
every time, like, oh no, I'm so sorry, I don't mean it.
But, it's just acting, I swear to God. It's just acting.
No, I remember the first time we ran the scene where you were like, you know, you had to snap at me and like, excuse me, what, and all that stuff. You were like, I'm so sorry, you're so sweet, I promise, like, I don't want to be mean to you. I'm so, I was like,
and you have to, like, reassure everyone, like, I know how acting works. It's like,
even,
it's okay.
So, like, our first read through, we got to that center bit in Get It. And one of the lines, Oren calls her a little slut. And, like, the entire room went dead silent. And everyone was just like, oh. Oh, wait, yeah, no, it's in the...
That's exactly what it is.
This is in the script, I swear to God.
This is in the script,
it's...
Yeah, because normally that scene, when I'm doing it, will be with the other Hannah, because both of the Audreys are Hannah, which is weird. But anyway, but there was one time you weren't able to be at rehearsal, so... So Dia came up to me and she's like, hey, you're up, and I was like... Hey, what? I was not prepared at all and was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And so then I had, that's probably the only time I'll ever do that scene with you. And I was like, nope, I feel like a normal person and I do not like this.
I've I've noticed that, like, in general, it can be a lot of fun to play the bad guy.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, this yeah, particular character, that it's not the same, because he's not just, like, the villain. He's the villain. Real awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, like, I think one of the worst things about him is that he's kind of like a realistic evil.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's not like, you know, because there's some things, it's like, it's so, you know, like, well, that, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah,
it's,
well, everyone loves the plant, because the plant is a big, fun,
well, yeah, the plant's
monster,
giant,
you know.
Yeah, he's a smooth-talking, mm-hmm. jazz singer.
But, like,
but like
a mean, narcissistic, abusive, psychotic jerk is, like, they're out there in the real world.
Like,
in
there
millions.
Are people out there like that are just like Orin.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
and like, that's what's awful.
And
about
we can't
it,
feed them to plants.
No, we can't.
You can try.
Orin
but
makes
don't
it
do that either.
Yeah. Orin makes it really hard for you to root against Audrey too. Until like the
really
middle
does.
Of Act Two, and then it's like, okay, now we can
see.
Hold
on
a second.
Wait,
this is a little too far.
I feel like the little red dot scene after that, you're like, oh, okay. I don't like Audrey too either.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a little
But even then, still, I feel like some people might still root for them even after Mushnick. Just because Mushnick is such a jerk to Seymour. Like, at every opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This show really pushes the boundary of how far are you willing to let things go before they go too far.
Right.
And, and are you willing to push it to the point that if it gets too far, it's out of your control?
And you really see, I mean, Seymour is a likable character. You know, he's not someone that you're going to see walk on stage and you're going to be like, well, you know, I don't want to see this guy succeed. You know, like, you want to see him succeed. You want to see him become famous and get all the things that you know he deserves. Because, I mean, he's really just a nice, meek little guy. And
he's just a meek little guy. Yeah.
And, like, we really push that, you know, like Zach said, we really push that boundary of, like, how far is too far. You know, you want to see him win the girl. You want to see him, you know, become this big star for this plant that he found. You want to see him and Audrey fall in love. You want to see Audrey, you know, realize how worth it she is. You know, you really want to see that between those two. But, like, does the end really justify the means?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, there's really only five characters in this play that anybody likes. Because it's Audrey and Seymour, and then the urchins, like...
Even they're kind of, like, morally ambiguous. Like, they exist outside of Skid Row and the whole thing of the play.
Yeah.
So it's like, like them because...
As we've said many times through the process, they really are a Greek chorus.
They're so good in this. Like,
they're fantastic,
Yeah,
I got the casting right on them too. I just want to put that out there. So.
During the choreography,
yeah,
the attitude that we're seeing is just right.
Oh, it was perfect.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that choreography! I am a terrible dancer. Got two left feet. Some of you know Kyla Olson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ever want to see Kyla Olson look exasperated? Ask her what it was like to try to teach me to dance. All right. That woman is a saint and did her best. But once we got done with the dance callback, I was like, Dennis doesn't even dance, but even still, I'm out there kicking my own feet.
He has a little bit of dancing in that one song. I like it's not a ton, but I like it. It's fun. A lot of hip thrusting. So.
Oh, there's a lot
that too.
Of thrusting.
It's very
to come see the show.
That's what you wanted.
For no reason. I'm sold.
I was telling my parents, I was like, I almost don't want you to come to the understudy show because there's a lot of hip thrusting, guys. Like, I don't think you understand.
I think this will probably be the most risque, or I guess like the evilest character my family has seen me do.
Yeah,
I've done some like wild stuff on stage, but nothing like straight up evil.
I've been the antagonist before. In Young Frankenstein, I played Inspector Kemp, who is, you know, the bad guy because you're on your Frankenstein's side. But if you look at the actions of everything in that play, that dude is right.
Desecrating a corpse is a crime.
Yeah, at the beginning of the thing, he's
necromancy,
like, when this
should
guy
be
shows
a crime.
Up, he's like, when this guy shows up, he's going to start doing a bunch of bad stuff.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
He's not wrong ever. Like,
yeah.
The only time he's wrong is at the end when he's like, it's fine now. The only time I'm like, yeah, I disagree with your choice here.
Would you guys believe me if I said this is my first antagonist role?
Is it?
It's actually my first antagonist role.
Well, in Clue, yeah, we were all antagonists.
There's only one character in Clue. Well, that like the main seven or whatever is not, and that's me. I got away in that one.
It's not really thought of that way.
But y'all were all murderers. I killed somebody, but it was not a murderer. It's different.
You killed a cat.
I didn't kill a cat.
Oh, that's right. No, you didn't.
No, I killed the.
Why? No, that. Yes. So, but it's.
I did not kill the cat. Though. That was not me. That was.
Was it French maid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kayla killed the cat. Yeah, Kayla did. What a horrible woman.
Kayla, if you're listening to this. Rude. Shouldn't have done that.
Should not have done that. So,
anyway, well.
So, are you enjoying that then? Playing the, I mean,
yeah,
the whole antagonist thing. You get to let the. You get to, like, we're talking about how awful, you know, the dentist is, but you get to enjoy the whole fun to play the villain thing.
Yeah,
to,
I mean, it's like a fun, you know, antagonist role that, like, you know, some people are like, you know what, this guy's actually kind of cool, until, like, later on where you're like,
when it gets worse.
When it gets worse, yeah. Whenever he actually crosses that line, he doesn't see what's wrong with that. But, of course, I mean, it's a monster, you know? I mean, its only drive is to eat and to grow. That's all it wants, and it'll do literally anything that it can think of to do that. And I've always liked the idea of, like, it watches everything in the shop of, like, and it's learning, picking up on things on, oh, I can do this to eat. Oh, I can do that to eat. Oh, I can tell Seymour this, so that way maybe he'll bring me some food later tonight. You know, he's very methodical and very, like, well thought on his whole plan and everything. So it's a really, really fun part. And, you know, I mean, like, the closest I've gotten to playing an antagonist before is, I'm a volunteer out at Nightmare on 19th Street. I'm the spokesperson out there. You know, I scream into a mic for a few minutes before we open the park. And I get to play a, you know, crazy, mad, whatever I want to that night, whatever he's feeling like. But as for, like, a stage setting, this is the first time I've ever really done it. So it's really, really fun, really exciting. No, you're good. That was pretty much it.
can we get a feed me?
You want to feed me?
Yeah. Say that line. The thing the plant says. About the, what is the line like? Give me some of that good food or something like that.
Feed me, Seymour.
That's great. That's great. It's so good.
Well, I think that's a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we could. Yeah. Might as well go ahead and sign off.
Right. He's got to do the thing.
It's you. All right, well, as Daniel pointed out, I think it's a good point to sign off. So we're going to release this early so that I can say come out tonight to watch the movie version of Little Shop of Horrors, and you could win tickets to see the stage production that you've just listened to us talk about for 40 minutes or so. Stage production opens May 20th and runs through the 29th. There is both weekends, it's a Friday night, Saturday night, and a Sunday matinee. But the second weekend, there will be an extra Saturday matinee where you can come watch the understudies perform the show. So they get a chance to...
And the understudies are pretty good. Like, not just me. I think I'm doing all right. But the other Seymour and the other Audrey are really good. Like, it's... it's not like it's a lesser show necessarily. It's just a different take.
So. The understudies are good enough that we felt like we needed to add an extra show so they'd have a chance to perform.
Well,
so.
It's that thing we were talking about when we were at those callbacks where, like, there's 8,000 ways you could cast this.
Yes.
That's why I think there's an understudy show, is because there was that many good people who came out. So I just lucked into getting to be involved. So
if you can see both, it's definitely worth seeing both. Absolutely. Like each understudy character brings something new that you won't see from the original cast that we have.
Right.
So come out and support them as well. They've been killing it, learning their ensemble parts and our parts as well. Mm-hmm. So.
And how.
Mm-hmm. And you get Dylan either way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dylan happens both ways. Yeah. He happens both ways. Yeah.
If you don't like me, well, sorry. I'll try to make you like me. I'll do my best.
Until about halfway through the show.
Well, I'm just hungry, okay?
I'm just like, I'm just an animal doing what I do. It's like how a shark is not evil.
It's just there. It exists.
It's just, we're in its space, really.
In its, yeah, you're in my space now.
A flower shop is my natural domain.
This is my planet now, and yeah, you will live
and
by my
you're
rules.
Here, which means that I will farm you and eat you. It's a real bad time, honestly. It's
you are livestock to me.
No offense, but.
So, if you.
So feed me, yeah. And on that note, on that pleasant note, come see this delightful, lighthearted family comedy.
It is probably rated PG-13. We should mention, like,
yes,
like,
yes.
It's probably not necessarily for like kids.
Yeah.
Although most of us watched it for the first time.
No, I kids. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. But, well, I was, I don't know. I was going to say the '80s were a different time, but they weren't in the '80s. So.
Hey man, the late '90s were a different time.
Hey, early 2000s. 2000
and on.
Wow. Oh my god. The early 2000s were like 6 years ago. How are you old enough to be in this?
Right. Yeah, I got married in 2006. So, like, you people were.
2002, hey? Yeah.
She was four when I got married. That hurts. So. Yeah.
Oh no, what's been wild, I'm sure, for both Zach and me and I guess Hannah as well, people that like grew up around here, is like going from being the young kid, like the 19-year-old showing up to these shows with like all these really great, fantastic, talented people, and then getting to like learn from them, and then like a couple years go by and you realize that, oh yeah, you're the 20-something.
Yeah.
And hey, all those teenagers are looking at you like...
It happens so much quicker than... And I, like, I thought I would wait till I was in my 30s at least, or pushing 40s to start feeling old. And but it happens when you're like 24. It's like ridiculous.
The day I woke up after my 25th birthday and realized I was now closer to 30 than I was to 20.
Yeah.
It's like life is meaningless. Wow. It's time to just stack it up and be done.
And then it just keeps going faster and faster and faster.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually turning 22 tomorrow.
So
thank you. So it's like,
yeah, happy birthday.
I don't
but,
think
no, it's exactly like what Zach says. I mean, I'm closer to 30 now than I am to 20, so I'm like, oh god.
You're only 2 years away from 20 now.
Yeah. That's what it doesn't feel like that. Most days.
No,
I mean, I wake
all right,
up.
Your knees don't feel like that.
No, that's literally what it's been like. Yeah,
it was like. Yeah, it was like 23 or something when I was like, oh god, my knees don't work anymore, and I was like, this isn't supposed to be happening now, but it did. Like that Simpsons joke that it'll happen to you. It's true.
It does.
That it is, does. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right now. This is like the eighth try.
It's just a sign that we're having a good conversation.
No, exactly. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for being on.
Thank you so much.
Yes. We love having a group like this on. It makes for good radio, so to speak.
What's radio?
It's like podcasts.
Oh, okay.
I see what you're saying now.
So but like you can't listen to them whenever you want. So like, you have to like listen to it when it's on.
So like, is it uploaded every week like YouTube?
It's like podcast, but way less convenient and much less variety. It's awesome.
All right, ninth track.
Oh, man.
Track.
So hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here for another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. Come see Little Shop of Horrors. You will not regret it. And come help us celebrate the end of our first year in our new space. We have really come in and just wrestled the space to our will and made it our home.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so absolutely. Come see that. Opening May 20th. Tickets are online now at lubbockcommunitytheater.org. Good marketing says you have to say it like three times, so they'll say that they're online at lubbockcommunitytheater.org, and once
they?
More, they're at lubbockcommunitytheater.org.
Okay.
That's where you get tickets.
Good to know.
To Little Shop of Horrors, which opens May 20th. That's when it opens on May 20th. Yeah, it's a Friday, May 20th. So come and get those tickets now. Okay, look, I say this every episode. Lubbock, we know you are last-minute people. And
you do not want to wait.
More and more this season, we were turning people for the Youth Artist Guild show last weekend. We were turning people away at the door for 2 out of 3 performances.
Yeah, we sold out a kid show. Little Shop is going.
And Little Shop tickets are going fast. So for real, get them now. Don't wait because they may not be there when you get there at the door. Get them now. PublicCommunityTheater.org. So I think that's it. I think we're done. So on behalf of myself, my co-hosts, and our guests, thank you for being with us. This has been 5 Till Places.
Thank you, 5!
PublicCommunityTheater.org.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.